Coach, how active do you expect to be in the portal coming up, and any positions that you might be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I like our roster right now. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't have anybody in the portal on either side, either leaving our program or adding. I would be if you ask me right now, I would be happy to take this roster right into May, and on both sides of it. Maybe that's fool's gold. Maybe that's wishing more than anything else. But I like what we've done with this roster. I like the development of it. Not all of that is in my control, obviously. But I can tell you, we're not like actively saying we got to have this, we got to have that. We feel good about our roster. If something shows itself that is a, you know, an incredible opportunity, we're certainly going to investigate any time that we can help our football team. And so we're always going to be looking to help our team, but it's not like it was obviously in January.
Let's freaking go. So, LSU fans, comment below, because we're not going long on tonight's live stream. Do you think LSU is fine as is? Now, once again, Brian Kelly said he feels that there is a higher likelihood than you would think that nobody actually goes through the portal, but nobody comes in. He said he is fine with the current roster as is. I don't believe that to be true. I don't believe LSU is just not going to add anybody in this spring transfer portal window. But it is interesting that in the past, Brian Kelly has been honest about, hey, we need to go get this position. Hey, we need to go get that position. Do I think some of this is BK trying his best to retain the players that he currently has on the roster? Yeah, I think some of it is indeed that. Because if you say, hey, I'm active in the portal for this position or that position, players at that position that you want to keep on the team might go. So it is interesting. I do think some of that is at play, but I honestly do believe that LSU is in a position where they feel good about this roster going in to the Clemson game. Now, here's a good thing, is that you don't have to believe that. Whoever you are watching this right now, you could be in a position where you say, hey, I don't think we should do that. I think we need to be very active in this spring portal window. I think LSU could use a running back. Obviously, the most prominent running back to hit the portal in a while, Jaden Ott out of California, is a very special player. I'm not sure if we're going to be in the market for someone like that, but a committee back I would be very interested in. And there have been some good ones that have indeed hit the transfer portal today. And one that I think would be interesting is Josh McCray, a guy that's played a lot of football. But honestly, I think Brian Kelly is just playing a wait-and-see approach. And I also think when you send that message to potential transfer portal players that they actually reach out to, that message would be better received by a transfer. Because if I was a transfer and I got that message, or I heard Brian Kelly said that, I would be of the belief, hey, he really does want me. So I like that. But one thing I don't like is I do think we need to be in the portal and bring in a few depth pieces, and I think it would help this team out in a major way. I would love another running back in this room. I don't like going three deep into next season. I would like to have four healthy scholarship running backs. I do think at quarterback, they are set. Tight end, they are set. Offensive line, I would like another piece to be added. Wide receiver is always a position that's weird. You have to really think somebody is special to bring them in because you've spent so many resources at the wide receiver position, and you do have a few of those guys back already. Defensive end is really set. That's the strongest position on this team. Defensive tackle would be nice to get another piece there. Same thing on the second level of the defense, and you guys know how I feel about safety. I do think corner, they feel really good about that position in particular with the way DJ Pickett performed. And then, of course, on special teams, you do worry about LSU's punting situation, but they've already brought in Chadwick. And then, of course, Ramos, the kicker, is very good. So at this juncture, I would like LSU to make a few pushes towards portal players. Now, here's a good thing. Because, you know, we did the film study over the weekend and then we did the live stream on Sunday. I know a lot of us are still mourning the loss of Kyren Lacy. But one thing I found to be very, very, very interesting is I feel that the film study response was overly negative from my analysis. And I wanted to be clear that I feel the spring game, was it the best and was it the worst? And that's part of why we also did a live stream directly after the film study premiere. We wanted to be crystal clear that there are so many other teams that participated in spring games, and they didn't really look great either because the defenses were very vanilla. Florida's starting quarterback participated in the spring game, but he can't even throw a pass with DJ Lagway's shoulder issues. Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback, period. And I do think, while I feel the SEC as a whole, because of the portal, because of these windows, you can really drastically change your team pretty quickly, not only in the December portal window, but you can patch some things up in the spring window. I do feel that there are some teams on the schedule that will be drastically overvalued in terms of their overall roster talent. And I think some of those teams are in the SEC this year. I would be worried if I were an Alabama Crimson Tide fan with your current quarterback situation. I just don't know if Ty Simpson is a guy. If you're an Arkansas fan watching this right now, we do have a lot of Arkansas fans from the Power Hour SEC world. I would be worried about your current roster right now. Those are two teams that are on your schedule. South Carolina, pretty drastic change with Dow Loggins out the door. Raheem Rocket Sanders out the door. Nick Imrerara, I don't know how to say his last name. Do it all safety out the door. And there's other really good defensive pieces that are out the door. And then on top of that, the Kyle Kennard, the end opposite Dylan Stewart out the door at South Carolina. So understand that every team has these holes and big, big, big question marks. One thing to keep in mind after Nick Saban retired, and especially after what we saw from Georgia last season, there isn't some insurmountable mountaintop team. Because with the way the portal is now, it is near impossible to stockpile truly bulletproof rosters. You know, I would think pretty much every year there's going to be one or two of them. Ohio State had a roster as good as pretty much any natty since 2019 LSU. They lost two games. They lost two games last year. They had no business losing two games, but they did. I just think the mountaintop teams are just no more. You just can't, you can't do it now with the portal and NIL. And with a 12-team college football playoff, everything becomes a little bit more flattened out and a little bit more margin of error. So while we do feel like we're in a world where LSU has all these holes, a few of the offensive linemen you are very worried about, especially when Will Campbell, Emory Jones, Miles Frazier, and Garrett Dellinger, three of those guys at least will get drafted. All four will be on NFL teams next year. You do begin to worry about that offensive line. You worry some about the receiver room. You worry some about Garrett and the deep ball accuracy and the turnovers. And defensively, there's a lot of players coming back from injuries. But while I feel LSU has some major weaknesses, I think the transfer portal would help this team out greatly. I have been picking apart other rosters, and you do begin to see other rosters that have issues. Now, one thing I think that is very interesting, and it could just be what recently happened in March Madness, kind of a side story has been the Florida Gator hype train. There are a lot of people that are picking Florida as dark horse college football playoff teams because they do have a good defensive line and they do have a very exciting quarterback. It is interesting, to say the least. Okay. We said to Tony, Christian, LA Mom, and Luke, fire your questions in. We won't be going too long because of LSU baseball. Shout out to the LSU women's basketball team. They just got a transfer coming in from East Carolina University. I just saw it flash on my phone like right before we started here. I was in show prep mode, so I don't know her name. I just saw East Carolina. Thought about our buddy Slade Roy, who also is transferring over. So, who also transferred over, excuse me, from Eastern Carolina. But we'll see. Hopefully it works out as good as Slade Roy worked out for LSU. But Luke thinks Ty Simpson's going to be the real deal if he wins the starting job. LA Mom is scared of Alabama. I wouldn't be. If Nick Saban was still their coach, yes. And that's nothing against their current coach. He's just not Nick. Let's go to Christian. I always like Christian's comments. He is always very objective and passionate. He says, quote, after hearing what Brian Kelly said about the spring portal, I have a bad feeling about next season. We have absolutely nobody serviceable at safety, and that DT room is still below average. I don't think I would say the LSU defensive tackle room is below average. If you want to call them average, I think that's fair. I think average is fair. Below average, though, I think it's a little too much. Too many snaps returning, and those guys were average players, the guys that are returning this year. Two of those guys are true freshmen, rarely are true freshmen above average, in McKinley and, of course, Ahmad Bro. We'll see how Sadir Mitchell shapes out. He's gotten a lot of hype. Jacoby Guillory, when he played, was an average to above average performer. So I don't think you could call him below average. I don't think the defensive tackle room, you could say, is below average. Safety, I could see that. I could definitely see that. But I don't think any LSU position group is below average. But then again, we're talking about college football playoffs. You can't just be average and make the college football playoff in the SEC. Now, you could do that in the Big Ten, like Indiana did last year. You can do that in the ACC. Can't do that in the SEC. Can't do that. Now, I do want to get to a few other things. Once again, please support the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience. If you have an event, wedding, or anything like that, anniversary, book the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience. I work in the wedding DJ industry. I've worked with Zion Imaging in the past. That's why we've partnered together. So please book them today. We also want to thank our partners at Fast Draft Fantasy. Sign up now using my promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. And guess what? You can win up to $50,000 with Fast Draft Fantasy. Okay. Let's go to chefing around. So quick story, because it is kind of a laid back live stream. I tried to get everything in before 6:30, but I got to share this. Okay. I actually was a big Futurama fan. I loved watching Futurama. My brother is not into sports at all. So when your life revolves around sports and your brother is not into sports, it's hard to find things you're both interested in. My brother was a very talented cartoonist. And the animation in Futurama was just so good. Yeah, the creativity, just crazy, all of it. And I believe this is Bender from Futurama. What is my take on the LB room, says Bender here. Do you think a potentially improved defensive line play will make the difference for their production? Yeah, I mean, we know what Whit Weeks is at this point. There's still a lot of room for growth with Whit Weeks. I think Whit Weeks, and this is a hard thing with Whit Weeks. You guys know I love him, right? The first thing is he gives you a Devin White type of ceiling, a Brady James type of ceiling. He had a few of those games that's up there with those all-time greats. But what those guys didn't do was have these bottom-out games. And Whit Weeks had some tough performances this year. South Carolina was earlier in the season, so you don't want to get too crazy with that. The Alabama game was also very tough, and so on and so on. You've got to be careful when you're playing an aggressive style of defense and you're playing zone read quarterbacks and mobile quarterbacks. They can absolutely destroy you. They can, all right? But Whit Weeks, to me, he is one of my top five players on this team. He is. And I think he's going to take his game to another level when he comes off this injury. And obviously, he's taken a bigger leadership role on this team. And then, of course, it's a money year for Harold Perkins. Now, he does have two more years of eligibility left, but I think Perk wants to make this year special. Let's go to Sam Super Chat. There is no juggernaut team as of right now. Almost every team has real questions. More than half of last year's playoff teams don't have a quarterback. And by the way, Alabama didn't make the playoff. They still don't have a quarterback. They don't. They do not. So one thing you could say about the Brian Kelly era up to this point is one thing that they have had is clarity at the quarterback position outside of year one. But even then, it was pretty clear that Jaden Daniels was going to be the guy. I cannot state enough how much easier life is when you have clarity at the quarterback position. But where life gets very difficult is if you don't have clarity at the other premium positions. We have had clarity at left tackle for 3 years. We don't have that anymore. We do, however, have more clarity at corner. That's a good thing. Clarity matters. we have an idea of what our running back and wide receiver room will look like. Tight end as well. But clarity matters. It really, 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 really does. Okay. So I got into a pretty good debate last night with a dear friend who's also in the college football industry. And we got into a debate about Clemson. And I really do feel Clemson's very good. I do think this is their best Dabo team since the Trevor Lawrence team we beat in the Natty. And he disagreed. He disagreed. So, I mean, so much is riding on that Clemson game. But, you know, I keep going back to how average to above average everybody was in the SEC last year. Let's take Georgia, for instance. You know, there's so many woulda, coulda, shouldas with Georgia. Georgia, of course, barely, and I mean barely, beat Georgia Tech. Georgia was very fortunate to beat Florida. And so much last year was chalked up to Carson Beck just getting hurt. Georgia was a very average team. Now, it says something about Kirby that his worst team in quite some time was still the number two overall seed in the whole playoff field. But Georgia played their most difficult schedule in quite some time, and it showed. And guess what? They got to play a very similar schedule this year. I mean, I just can't stress enough how big of a deal Nick Saban not being in the conference anymore actually is, because it was just so drastically hard to beat that guy. And I know this has been a very pro-Saban channel over the past week. We did our video on him last week, getting into the Louisiana Hall of Fame. But, you know, him not being there is so big because, I mean, for a decade, he kicked our ass. I mean, it's just that simple. So this Sam Super Chat is big. Now, the downside is while the elites are no longer elite, the bottom halves are very, very, very good compared to yesteryear. It is amazing how much better the bottom half has become in the SEC. Like, Vanderbilt is a very real problem. Vanderbilt. It's just not how it works. Let's go to Bob with the super chat. Good to have you back, Bob. What are my thoughts on losing Bo Davis? Okay. And a few win-loss projections. Okay. You know, with Bo Davis out the door, I am very worried. You know, you have Kyle Williams, your first-year defensive tackle coach. But I do think it's interesting that Kyle Williams is a more affordable option. And Kyle Williams, I mean, this is a dream. There is something to be said about hunger from a coach. And Bo Davis was very hungry. I mean, after he took the Saints job, he was still, you know, talking to recruits. He didn't just cold shoulder the entire recruiting operation. But an NFL job opened up. There's only 32 of those in the world. And he took it. He took it. But yeah, losing Bo Davis is a big deal. The thing that I worry about from Kyle Williams' perspective is, yes, it is nice having Ahmad Bro in that room to really go to bat for Kyle Williams. It really, really, really is nice. But what I would also tell you is a lot of the defensive tackles that commit to LSU and sign with LSU did it because Bo Davis was the defensive line coach at LSU. So those five guys that he signed, the one transfer, Mitchell, and the four high school guys, they've got to come in locked in and really bought in to, hey, you commit to the school over the coach. And you should always commit to the school over the coach. It should be 65 to 70% school over coach. But I think Kyle Williams will do a fine job. I'm also cheering for Kyle Williams because his assistant is Jamari A. Roscoe, who is a former LSU Tiger defensive end who's getting his big opportunity working alongside an LSU legend. So really excited about those two. I'm obviously fans of both of them, collect both their cards, but we'll see how it actually works out. Now, as far as win-loss predictions, I do think when you look, let me see, I think I have a copy of the, I should have a copy of the 2025 LSU schedule right here. Is this it? That's 2024. We'll pull it up. I do think the big question, what games on your schedule are for sure wins next year? That's always the better question to ask when you're starting off a win-loss projection. And honestly, when I look at this schedule as a whole, there's only three, and it's the non-Power 5 games that you play. Louisiana Tech was an awful team, probably the worst team I've ever seen make a bowl game. Then you have Southeastern. That'll be an interesting game for Bauer Sharp, who started his career with the Lions. And then later in the year, you have Western Kentucky, and they've been a really, really, really good program over the years. Western Kentucky has pushed some SEC schools to the test as well. What's funny is the best quarterback on the schedule for LSU very well could be from the team that was by far the worst quarterback on LSU schedule last year, which was Oklahoma. John Mateer, transfer from Washington State. Transfer quarterbacks from Washington State, well, one almost won the Heisman and will be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft here in a few weeks. Let's go here to Pegasus. What's the plan with Juju Johnson? You know, one of the top-rated athletes and projected safeties in the country coming out. I'm fine with leaving him at quarterback for now. So I understand Colin Hurley is now back into the practice fold, and Juju Johnson is today still worked with the third team. That makes sense. Hurley is just now back. You know, it's important. Like, Michael Van Buren can run, but it's not like I heard someone compare him to like Kyler Murray. It's not, he's not like that level of a runner. Juwan Johnson is a true runner at the quarterback position. And I do think LSU is very interested in using him as a wildcat hybrid type of player. And I do think it could add some juice to what LSU is doing. I do think also, Juwan Johnson's touchdown run this weekend in the red zone portion was actually a very nuanced and creative way of scoring. So he does have a feel for actually running the ball. And you have to when you are the most productive Louisiana high school football player of all time, which he is statistically. So I'm excited to see how this quarterback room plays out. The one interesting thing about the LSU quarterback room is that it's a small room in terms of actual size of the QBs. Nuss is 6'1". Van Buren is 6 foot. Hurley, 6 foot, 6'1" area. And Juwan Johnson kind of in the same realm. And you could also make, honestly, the same statement about running back and wide receiver. They're shorter, smaller-ish rooms in terms of the actual size of the player. Okay. Now, this had been rumored for a while. Let me confirm this here. And let's see. Jaden Ott, it is confirmed. there's going to be a lot of suspicious folk in the portal. It's a big story. Big, big, big story. So, this is the current day and age in college football. Last year, it wasn't even close. The worst quarterback running back duo that you played last year was Oklahoma in the SEC. Not even close. Next year, they are the best. And it might not be close there either. Jay Knott can really play. Jay Knott almost came out for the NFL draft, not this year, but the year before. And then he got hurt, and this was the most loaded running back class. So why go be a fifth or sixth round pick when you could get paid big bucks to dominate as an older back in college? Y'all, you can play. Jay Knott could play. Oklahoma's a player this year, y'all. Obviously, they lose Danny Stutzman on defense. But, you know, Venables will have that unit playing well. Bowman's also gone on that defense. But they were the worst SEC offense I've ever seen relative to expectation that I can remember. Jaden Ott. Very, 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 very juicy. Okay. Jeez, it's big. That's where everyone was saying he was going to go. Wasn't really a well-kept secret. God, the fact that Oklahoma could officially announce it that quickly. Remember that game, like Sam points out, the game is in Norman. I cannot say enough how bad that offense was. And they had the Robinson kid who really came on late. He was a good player for them. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Alexander says they still don't have receivers. And they got Satania and somebody else from the portal. I'm drawing a blank. Pegasus says Klubnik, Sellers, Lagway. Who's the other top QBs? Well, I mean, I'll pull them up for you. Even though I say I'm not a Ty Simpson believer, that coaching staff, while the Ryan Grubb being back in town, they'll have him coached up. They'll have an answer by then as well. But Marcel Reed scares me, or Jacob Zeno, whatever they decide to do there. Ole Miss also bringing in a quarterback today, flew under the radar. He just came from a super small school. I never heard of him before. Let me see. Trinidad Chambliss from Ferris State, threw for 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, ran for 1,000 yards, 25 touchdowns. Trinidad Chambliss. Yeah, it's still going to be Austin Simmons more than likely. But when you look at returning production and overall experience, Ole Miss was lagging way behind basically everybody else. So I just think Lane needed to get another body in there. I really do think so. So we'll see. But as always, GTHOM. All day, every day. B.S. Bob, at this juncture, I feel LSU, this isn't what you're going to like to hear. They're a 9-3 football team. That's about where they are right now. And that's fine. Okay? Now, last thing. I'm always working on the channel. So coming up here in about 6 days, got a pretty cool NFL draft announcement that we've been working on behind the scenes. Super pumped up about that. Super pumped up for Will, Emery, the whole crew that will get their name shouted out. Mason Taylor as well. I was able to talk to multiple people in Jack Pyburn's orbit. And man, I really do think you can make a case. He is the best player on this team right now. You can make a case. I would still probably have a slight edge with Nuss and with Durham. And then on the defensive side, a slight edge with someone like Mansoor Delane and Whit Weeks in particular. But I'm just telling you now, Jack Pyburn is a freaking monster. It was just a spring game. But that was an incredible performance by him in the spring game. And it goes back to what I have always pointed to when it comes to transfer portal players. What was their situation at their last school? Because Jack Pyburn was not a superstar at Florida. So how could I say something as drastic as he could be the best player on this team from last year? He was a rotational end at Florida. Well, Florida had a really good defensive line. Jack Pyburn started his career as like a special team tweener. Throughout his high school career, he was kind of a fullback, linebacker, tweener type of player. And I do think there was some validity to how Florida used him last year. They had him dropping back into coverage a lot. A first and second down player. We never really got to see him rush on third down. But, man, I based on what I'm hearing at practice, based on what I saw at times versus Florida and what a defense like this desperately needs are run stuffers, guys that can make plays. And Jack Pyburn could definitely do that. You match him up with Kevin Peoples, who is a very technical defensive line coach. We saw Braden Swenson and Savion Jones really take massive step forwards last year in their games. I'm very pumped up for number 44. I really, 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 really am. And I think him and Patrick Payton could supersede the production that we had at defensive end, which was arguably our best position on the entire team last year. So That's very exciting. And then you factor in Gabriel Relaford, who is very similar to Pyburn as a player. And then you also add Jamari Butler. He's going to give you a lot on not only the outside, but the inside as well. I'm really excited for Jack Pyburn. I really, really, really am. The kid can flat out play tackle football. All right. Let's go to DA. Speak for yourself. A 9-3 LSU football team isn't all right at all. Louisiana will totally give up on Brian Kelly if that's our record. I've already given up on him last year, says DA. All right. I will say this. And this is rewinding the clock. I try not to rewind the clock too much regarding woulda, coulda, shouldas. All right, the biggest woulda, coulda, shoulda in LSU history will always be 2011. But the biggest woulda, coulda, shoulda at almost every other school will always be 2023 LSU. That team had so much talent, and it was just wasted. It was just absolutely set on fire due to some underperformances, but mostly subpar coaching. It's just that simple. And that was probably one of our better shots of actually winning the whole damn thing. But we didn't capitalize on it. But as college football has evolved and as a portal has evolved, the way I see college football now is I just don't think there's going to be that unbeatable force team that you really have to worry about every year. Does Ohio State have the best team? Do they deserve to be number one? Yeah, they probably do. They probably do have the best team going into next year. But we are all more so in a guessing game now than what we've ever seen before. And I do think there is a minor culture shift in college football in terms of the players themselves. You notice players off the field, it doesn't seem like they get in much trouble anymore. They just don't. Like I just think there's so many different things at play. You know, when I was doing some NFL draft evaluations, it was interesting how many guys that you would watch not give it 100% all the time. Territory McMillan was one of those guys. Luther Byrne was one of those guys. I just hope the players continue to care and still continue to have some pride for the team. And I worry about that. I really, really, really do. Like, I won't get into like the Nico debate again, but I just don't understand how you can play and be loved and defended when you're averaged by an unfreaking believably passionate and historic fan base, and you shit all over them. Really? Like, and that's a crazy thing about it. Before revenue sharing kicks in here in a few months, where the school really is directly paying the players, a good bit of the players getting paid is coming out of your pocket or coming out of a big booster's pocket. But, you know, you can always like point backwards and say, hey, this team or that team. But, y'all, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois and almost won the national championship. 1 year sample of the 12-team playoff. I just think that's what you're going to get. And it's exciting, yet weird at the same time, to say the least. Now, I understand LSU baseball is underway. But we'll take a few more once again. It's early. It's a midweek game. And there you go. Let's go to Alexander. Nico's dad thinks he's too big for Tulane. You know, here's what I would have done if I were Tulane. I would have called my biggest booster and said, let's pedal to the metal and let's go get Nico. He probably dominates that competition, makes you very nationally relevant. But I can also understand not wanting that and them coming in thinking that they're bigger than the team and all of that. I can totally understand saying no altogether. I can't. And I understand, like, and there's just still more defenses of Nico that Carson Beck got $4 million and Darian Mensah got X amount of money. Yeah, you know, in every single sport, as time moves on, players are getting more money. That's every single sport. Tua at one point was making a higher annual salary than Patrick Mahomes. That was because Patrick Mahomes signed his deal before Tua, who signed his deal before Joe Burrow, who signed his deal before Dak Prescott, who's now the highest paid quarterback. The price of everything goes up. New leagues, new money. Everybody gets paid more as time moves on. Bradley Beal is making $57 million a year. He was the third best option on a team that didn't make the playoffs and was a locker room cancer this year. Nico got a deal that anybody would have taken at the time. So what? You're not the highest paid guy on the planet. You got $2 million to sit the bench in year one. Well, he wanted $4 million. No. Mm-mm. All right, Bob, we'll see you. And yeah, there's a few other details to the Nico story about the offensive line and like some offensive changes and all of that. But, you know, if I were Heupel, I would show the ridiculous amount of overthrows that Nico had for walk-in touchdowns last year. Now, they won both of these games, so they never really saw the light of day. But go pull up the Florida and Alabama games in particular, and those were home games, by the way. Overthrows. And I have always lived by the mantra, give it a chance. Y'all, I took some serious heat for going crazy ham on Nico for running out of bounds versus Arkansas on the final play of the game. What the hell were you thinking? You don't have to know the offense. Heck, if Pegasus went out there, he would probably not be able to take the snap because he would be scared out of his mind. But you would pick it up, even if you're getting absolutely destroyed by Landon Jackson or whoever from Arkansas. You know, at the very least, hey, I'm going to throw it up and at least give my team a chance on a Hail Mary attempt. But he ran out of bounds. All right, y'all. Go enjoy LSU baseball. Big thanks to Fast Draft and Zion Imaging. And our top super chatters, Sam and Bob. There we go. It's good stuff. Let me see really quickly as far as going live tomorrow. Let's see. All right. a baseball game tomorrow. So we will be live at 6 p.m. Central tomorrow night, okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! It's tonight. Oh, we're doing some elotes. If you don't know what elotes are, you're missing out. Let's go.